Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/Martin Chronicle. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Hi, everybody. It's Michael Martin. I'm on the phone today again with Frank Clements from Meridian Energy Brokers, my longtime friend. How you doing today, Frank?
Good, thanks.
So we'll talk about the energy markets, natural gas and crude oil. We obviously have this nor'easter that's kind of come and gone. We also have the remnants of Hurricane Sandy. Let's talk about crude oil as it relates to heat and oil. What are you seeing in the crude market right now?
Over the past week and a half, it's just been completely choppy. It's kind of lost its direction. Crude oil has been up, been down. You had a couple spikes earlier in the week.
Right.
After they kind of assessed the damage after the hurricane, crude oil spiked up along with gasoline. And I think that was Monday. Right after that, on Tuesday, the market crashed, both in gasoline and in crude oil.
Right.
Heating oil followed along. And one of the reasons why you're getting so much volatility is the NYMEX contracts are deliverable in the New York Harbor. And with all the problems that you've had in the New York Harbor, they had shut it down for a while. The floating debris, the flooding, the power failures, a lot of the storage terminals couldn't take deliveries. Another problem was the major refinery here in the New York City area is the Phillips 66 refinery in Bayway, New Jersey. They run about 250,000 barrels of crude a day, and they produce a good portion of the gasoline that is sold here to independent stations in the New York City area.
Mm-hmm.
That refinery went down. And the original estimates of the refinery were that it was going to be back up soon. Now, however, the longer-term situation, it's going to be down for another couple of weeks.
Wow.
So it's created just a complete mess. And so no one really has any idea on the direction right now. There are days where it's up, it's down. You've bounced off a couple key support areas in crude oil.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's added to the volatility, too. You bounced right off at 84 three different times this week.
Right.
And it's caught a lot of traders in no man's land. So you're having a lot of people sitting on the sidelines just waiting to see where everything shakes out.
So you're talking actually about Tuesday and Wednesday of last week. I got the chart in front of me. And you're seeing, like, obviously Tuesday was election day. Wednesday, you have a $4.75 range in crude oil,
yes.
Right? And that's insanity.
Right, I'm sorry. You're 100% right. It was Tuesday and Wednesday, correct?
Right, and that's like twice what the average true range is. So you're seeing enormous volatility. It looks to me from the chart on the December, after the thing spiked at 100, you know, kind of like late September, you're still in a downtrend. So even those big rally days kind of rallied up to the trend line. But I do see today's close basis December like $86, which is a pretty strong close on the given the week. Do you see this is going to turn into a bit of a bottom here, given some of the duresses that have been put on the system, or would you stick with the overall, you know, longer term trend on the December that it's down?
Longer term, I'm still slightly bearish. Shorter term, I'm a little bullish.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I'm bullish is this. You bounce off at 84
mm-hmm.
three times.
Yes.
And what's been leading the way is gasoline. And when gasoline was up 9, almost 10 cents today.
Mm-hmm.
And once the gasoline market settles down, that's when I think that you'll get a little more clarity in the crude oil. Especially here in the New York Harbor. They're estimating we still have gas lines here. We still have odd-even rationing, and until they get this whole New York metropolitan area gasoline situation worked out, I think gasoline is going to remain strong and lead the way. Yet Tuesday's rally, people were saying it might have been the election rally, people were thinking Romney was going to win, but he didn't, and then we came off, and then reality of the fundamentals of supply and demand took effect. And I think that's caused a lot of people, a lot of heartburn over the past few days.
You know, it's interesting when you speak about it, because we're not really in gasoline season, right? This is when the refineries change over their calibrating and whatever to, you know, create heat and oil and whatever gasoline they're trying to meet, you know, current demand with. But You know, the other thing that comes to mind is that this is really a Northeast, maybe New York City issue that reminds you of like the gas lines of the OPEC oil embargo of 1978, pretty much. New York still, and the East Coast in general, still gets a lot of its gasoline from Venezuela. So how it's interesting that gasoline right now is driving the crude market. You know what I'm saying? Given the fact that we're in November and it's not really gasoline season.
Well, one of the problems is, like I mentioned before, for a while there, and still even now, I believe, I haven't seen the most recent updates, that you couldn't get the tankers and the cargoes into New York Harbor. They had shut New York Harbor down, and there was a lot of floating debris. There was a lot of shifting sandbars, which also in the area, you know, shifted the channel markers.
Right.
So they were afraid to bring in the boats and the barges. Some of the gasoline depots up and down the Hudson River were shut down because they didn't have electricity.
Right. They said there were like, whatever, 20 oil barges anchored in the Kilvan Col in the whole, you know, the area there between, you know, the Verrazano Bridge and around, you know, the Lady Liberty and everything.
Yeah, and they've even had one of the big storage tanks that hold some heating oil had broken and dumped about 350,000 gallons of diesel fuel into the Arthur Kill too.
Wow.
So there's still some infrastructure damage. And there's still a few problems in terms of, like, some of the gas stations still don't have power in the area, and there's still quite a few people without it. So that's making getting gasoline into your car more difficult, too. There are fewer gas stations pumping the gasoline out. So I think until this is settled down, and it's probably going to take a couple more weeks, mm-hmm. I think you're going to see everything kind of remain a little on the firmer side. Once everything is settled down, and I know the rest of the country, too, gasoline has been down over the past week or two. But once everything settles down then I think we will resume the longer-term course that crude oil has started, where it will continue lower. And I think at some point, probably towards the beginning of the year, I think you're going to try and test that $78 area again.
For you, the listeners of Martin Chronicle Podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. At audible.com, you can download for free most of the books that I've reviewed, such as Dark Pools by Scott Patterson of Wall Street Journal, The Indomitable Investor by Steve Sears at Barron's, Buy High, Sell Higher by Joe Terranova of CNBC, The Alpha Masters by Manit Ahuja of CNBC, and of course, Hedge Fund Market Wizards by legendary author Jack Schwager. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/Martin Chronicle. Again, that's audibletrial.com/Martin Chronicle for your free audiobook.
Let's go to natural gas. I'm looking at the January's contract closed on the lows for the day, near the lows for the day, near the lows for the week. Still very bearish. Thing is in a downtrend coming off of a $4.10 top, basically. Yet open interest remains very, very strong. Where do you see a bottom in that gas?
Well, 350 has been your key support area here now that December's been the front contract. That's a nice level that the market's bounced off of a few times, and we're going to settle right there. I haven't checked the settlements today, but we're going to be right there today.
Mm-hmm.
If you get it down below 350, you're going to see the market go back into the upper 330s, and I think it's going to kind of find an equilibrium here between supply, demand, storage, and where we were last year around this time. I think that's a pretty good area where this market should be. I think it's found value between the 355, 335 area. It's bounced up off the 360 area all 4 of the 5 days this week,
mm-hmm.
and it's come off. It hasn't been able to breach that.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of think we're finding an equilibrium here.
Yep.
And one of the things I've noticed, too, is volume. Over the past week and a half, has been lower in general than it has been throughout the year. You're not getting as much volume. And open interest is still high, although it's starting to come off a little bit. So what some of the people I've been talking to, some of the people aren't trading as much. They're starting to liquidate a little bit. And, you know, we've had this beautiful rally over the last 6 months. And I think people are taking their profits and are just waiting to see if we get a breakout either way. That would indicate then a number of people are sitting on the sidelines.
Right, because the market would get thin. Now, so the question I have for you is, are you seeing anything in the spreads that would give you an indication that the market might break one way or the other?
Well, earlier this week, there was sizable volume in the OX 13 Jan 14 spread. A lot of size, about 9,000 contracts had gone.
Wow.
And somebody was putting up, you know, there was 800 lots at a clip going.
Now put that in perspective for the person listening that's not really aware. Like, that's obviously size, right? So put that into perspective for not just the outrights, but for a spread, you know, that's not necessarily in the back of the board, but certainly not in the front of the board either.
No, it's a very active spread. It's probably, I would say it is probably, along with the March April, the two most active spreads there are in natural gas. Because what the OCJAN does, it encompasses the fall going into the winter.
Yep.
It encompasses year-end rolls. It encompasses a number of different things. And it's a very important factor in determining, you know, positioning for the rest of the year within natural gas. If you're buying OCJANs or selling OCJANs, you know, you're betting the price movements from 1 year, from the end of 1 year to the beginning of another will move. What it did is, it didn't really move the market a lot, which was kind of surprising. I thought the spread might go out a little bit further, but it actually came in a little bit. Today it moved back out. Right now OCJAN is trading right around 41 cents. Now that kind of volume done, like 9,000 contracts, is usually about 3.5 to 4 times at this time of the year what an OCJAN would trade. Like today we traded 2,000 of them, and that would be about average. So somebody's making a longer-term bet. And open interest in those 2 months had gone up. So these are new positions that were coming on.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your insight. I know the listeners do. I've been getting lots of emails about, you know, the things that we're speaking about here. So we'll pick it up again next week. Stay safe back east, and I'll look forward to catching up with you next week. We'll pick up the conversation.
That's great. Thank you very much, Michael.
All right, buddy.